Kevin Jones.
Left leg for Dante. Three in the air. Swish!
Greg Jones, their outstanding guard, has to be the king. They don't blame me.
Daryl Brooks.
Devin Evans.
What for Daniel?
Kirby Brooks on the two-pointer.
Dallas Nichols wins the game.
Alexander. It's a dunk right in his face.
Something is Jones.
They can take the ball to the left side, spins, shoots, layup, shot, good!
Got that Carter throw the ball.
Javon Carter is in Trae Young's head.
Butler into the lane, into traffic. It goes again! West Virginia has won its first Big East championship.
They're going wild here at the Coliseum.
So long, Big Blue. Hello, Golden Blue. The West Virginia Mountaineers are going to the Final Four. It is a great night to be a Mountaineer, wherever you may be.
And now, it's the show brought to you by Mountaineer fans, for Mountaineer fans, the Country Rose Webcast.
What's going on, Mountaineer Nation? Welcome into episode 3 of the 2023-2024 edition of the CRW Hoops Podcast as we continue to progress through this year's West Virginia men's basketball season. Now, 6 games in, 3 up, 3 down for the West Virginia Mountaineers. We've seen the conclusion of the Fort Myers tip-off tournament, saw West Virginia take 4th place in that game, but then at least we saw West Virginia come back home. We have a better taste in our mouth now following a win over Bellarmine in the most recent game. We'll talk about that, review that game a little bit before we get into a preview of the upcoming Gold Rush Friday night contest as West Virginia welcomes Rick Pitino and St. John's into Morgantown. We'll wrap the episode with a preview of that game, give my prediction as to what I think will happen for the Mountaineers. But before we get to all those things, of course, we got to lead this episode off the way we always like to, and that's, of course, with a little bit of Mountaineer news. All right, leading off Mountaineer news with actually some news for next West Virginia basketball season. As you see, coming out this week, reported by Ethan Bach over on WVSportsNow.com, West Virginia will be playing in the Battle for Atlantis tournament to begin the 2024 men's basketball season, and it will be a stacked field West Virginia will be competing against. You see the dates there, November 27th through November 29th, and the field is set: Arizona, Creighton, Davidson, Gonzaga, Indiana, Louisville, and Oklahoma will join the Mountaineers in the Battle for Atlantis tournament there, played in the Bahamas to start next basketball season. So wanted to provide that announcement here to lead off Mountaineer news. And then, of course, one of the more prevalent topics recently when it comes to WVU basketball, got to discuss this here, and that's, of course, Raekwon Battle here in Mountaineer news. And obviously, at this point, I'm sure everyone knows now, Raekwon Battle's appeal was denied by the NCAA. Absolute travesty. Won't go into it too much and rant on it too much here. I know you guys have probably heard about it extensively, but I did want to provide this because I thought that this was very well done by Raekwon Battle, and I encourage you guys to go read his full statement that he released on social media. I'm not going to read the entire statement, but I will share the quote here that was pulled from this article here over on WV Sports Now by Ethan Bach. And just hats off to Raekwon Battle for having the courage to come out and state his case a little bit and provide some of the reasonings as to why West Virginia feels like they have such a strong case with him and the mental issues that this could cause him. As the NCAA leads us to believe, mental health issues are at the top of their priority list, but obviously this goes against some of those practices they say, and obviously they're not practicing what they preach here in regards to that with Raekwon Battle situation. He detailed a lot of that in his statement. As Ethan Bach states here on WVSN, Battle in the statement goes into detail about his thought process while transferring. He says he had 3 options last spring: staying at Montana State, following his former coach Danny Sprinkle to Utah State, or to trust the NCAA to understand his mental health issues and, of course, you know, come to West Virginia where things could be better for him. And in his statement, he says, this is from Raekwon Battle himself now out of his statement, which I encourage you guys go check it out on social media there at Raekwon Battle. It's on his X account there. You guys can find it. Lengthy statement, but very well put and thought out, and something that probably took a lot of courage from Raekwon as well. So can't commend him enough, and hopefully it has an effect. But part of that, he says here, the state of West Virginia has become a second home to me, and my teammates have become a second family. My hope is that the NCAA will understand what it is doing is wrong, that it will realize that it is going against everything it is supposed to stand for when it made this decision, and it will look at the facts and reserve itself. But more than that, even if I never play another game of basketball, I will not go quietly. At a minimum, I will be one more Native American voice shouting into the ears of an institution that is all too oblivious of its failings and prejudices. Well said there. Can't say enough how much Raekwon Battle deserves to play for West Virginia. For right now, that's not going to be the case, but hopefully something is to come of this in the future, and we can have another update on Raekwon Battle's eligibility, and it will finally be a positive one, because he is certainly a player that can be a very productive player for the West Virginia Mountaineers. And speaking of productivity, when I think of productivity, nothing comes to mind more to me than Magic Mind. That is the 2-ounce productivity shot that really has been a game changer for me here recently. And you guys know that follow us here on the Country Roads webcast that I've loved my coffee. You know, I'm one of those people that have drank it, you know, from morning to night, and I thought it would make me more productive. But man, was I ever wrong once I found Magic Mind and learned the true benefits of what this productivity shot can do and what coffee wasn't doing for me. Because not only does Magic Mind contain caffeine that will help you, but it contains plenty more all natural ingredients that complement that caffeine, lengthen its benefits and its effects for you, and it eliminates the downside. There's no crash, there's no anxiety, there's no stress that come along with high caffeine consumption when you're consuming too much coffee throughout the day. But the most important part is it increases your productivity level. I'm getting so many more things done since I switched to Magic Mind. And as I said, the best part of it is it's better for me health-wise as well, with its all-natural ingredients, the matcha, the ashwagandha, lion's mane mushroom, you name it. All great stuff there involved in this great product. Can't encourage you guys enough to check it out, and I've got an exclusive link for you guys to be able to do so. It'll be in the video description here on the Country Roads webcast channel. It is magicmind.com/countryroads, and be sure use our exclusive code CONFIDENTIAL20 that will get you 56% off your first subscription or 20% off a one-time purchase. And after experiencing Magic Mind for myself, I can't ever encourage enough people to try it out. Everyone that I have gifted it to has really enjoyed it and has went on to, you know, purchase their own or to, you know, even get a subscription in some cases. So can encourage you guys enough to check it out for yourself. And you can actually do that without a subscription or without a purchase online now. Head to Sprouts Farmers Market. You try a couple of those bottles. That's going to definitely get you hooked. And once you're hooked on that, be sure to come back here. Use our exclusive link, magicmind.com/countryroads, and our exclusive CRW code, CONFIDENTIAL20, to get 56% off your first subscription or 20% off a one-time purchase. And hopefully West Virginia is scoring on the basketball court coming up in this game against St. John's the way they did against Bellarmine. And let's talk a little bit about that game against Bellarmine now as we get into our game review for the West Virginia Mountaineers' most recent contest that saw them gain their third win of the season as they continue to be successful at home here in this young West Virginia men's basketball season here throughout the 2023-2024 campaign. All right, so taking a look at the most recent West Virginia men's basketball game, West Virginia was able to defeat Bellarmine 62-58, pick up their third win of the season. West Virginia struggled at times offensively in this basketball game, especially when it comes to shooting the ball, but they found a way to get it done in the end, and that's what matters at the end of the day is getting W's, and West Virginia was able to rack one up here in this game against the Knights. So let's take a little bit of a look at the statistics from this contest. West Virginia shot 41% from the field as opposed to 33% from Bellarmine in this game, so at least West Virginia was able to hold Bellarmine to a low field goal percentage. 3-point percentage, this is where we got to talk a little bit about West Virginia's struggles in this game. Bellarmine goes 9 of 30, shoot 30% from behind the arc. Nothing to write home about there on its own, but then you look at the Mountaineers, and in relative fashion there, The Bellarmine Knights look great compared to what WVU did behind the arc in this game. 3 of 16, 18% for West Virginia. Not going to get it done on the season. Got to continue to improve there. And I think it's one of those things, law of averages. West Virginia can't shoot that bad continuously moving forward. I know a lot has been made about maybe some of these guys are tired. They don't have the legs behind them due to the depth that West Virginia has. And maybe that is playing a part. Can't rule that out right now. Hopefully, if we can get some guys back into the lineup, throw some different names into the rotation here in the coming games as we're getting closer and closer to Kirk Creasa coming back, down to 3 games on the Kirk Creasa countdown now. That will help, I think, as well. And West Virginia will shoot better than that moving forward on the season. They've got to, right? So struggle from beyond the arc, but the positive side, the silver lining there is you found a way to win in spite of that. And then I look at a more positive aspect of this, 17 of 21 from the free throw line, 81% for the Mountaineers. Love that because they have struggled there earlier this season. So glad to see them, you know, revert back to what I expect to be more of their natural form here. 80%+ throughout the rest of the season would be great. Bellarmine only gets the line for 8 shots, 5 of 8, 62% for them. And then West Virginia on the glass outpaces Bellarmine 39 to 36, but West Virginia did give up 12 offensive rebounds. That continues to be an area West Virginia is going to have to do a better job of, is not allowing so many offensive rebounds from their opponents. You look at that game against Virginia, and that's what literally cost West Virginia the win there in that one. They could have potentially had an upset win over Virginia, maybe a signature win for Josh Eiler this early in his career. West Virginia really came to play in that game, and shout out to them for doing that. But, you know, you give up those offensive rebounds late, and Virginia's able to hit those free throws that led to the win. You know, I know a lot's been made about the officiating in the game, and I get that, but nonetheless, West Virginia still has to box out and do their part to eliminate those offensive rebounds that have really hurt them. Got hurt by that a little bit in this game against Bellarmine, but it did not come back to bite them the way that it did in the game against Virginia. West Virginia was able to win on the glass 39 to 36 overall. Assists 15-9 advantage for Bellarmine. And this is what I'm talking about with West Virginia this season. You know, turnovers have been an issue, but I've really been trying to pay attention to the assist to turnover ratio. I think it'll change a lot when Creasa comes back, but right now it's not getting it done. Earlier in the season, it wasn't, especially not in this game when you have 9 assists versus 14 turnovers. I think West Virginia needs to try and have 10 or less turnovers. Obviously, that would be a great goal to have, but they need to get their assist number up as well. They need to continue to do a good job of moving the basketball around. Sometimes throughout this season, they've struggled on offense. They've had those scoring droughts. Seems like nobody's moving. Nobody's working the ball around. A lot of watching one guy dribble, you know, that type of offense that we can't really have if this team wants to be successful. So if you see West Virginia's offense look better, I guarantee their assist number is higher and probably their turnover number is going to be lower moving forward throughout the season. As I said, West Virginia 14 turnovers compared to 9 for Bellarmine, but 17 fouls called on the Knights versus 8 for the Mountaineers. 2 of those being technicals that kind of provided a swing in West Virginia's favor early in the momentum in this game, which allowed West Virginia to get up to, you know, an 8-point lead, which was their largest lead in this game. But West Virginia ends up winning it by 4, 62 to 58. There's a look at the team stats. Let's take a look at some of the individual standouts for the Mountaineers in this contest. Yet again, West Virginia with 4 guys in double figures in this game, those 4 being Ofri Neve, Quinn Sosinski, Jesse Edwards, and Kobe Johnson. Kobe with 13 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. Jesse Edwards with another great stat line, another double-double for him. It's third of the year, if I'm not mistaken. 17 points, 14 rebounds, 3 block shots, 2 steals. Two assists and 1 steal for Jesse Edwards. Quinn Sosinski, 16 points, despite the fact that it was a rough shooting night for him. 1 of 6 from beyond the 3-point line. That's going to change moving forward, and hopefully it changes in this upcoming game. It's a big one for him. He said he's had it circled on his calendar. Talk more about that momentarily when we talk about St. John's. And then, of course, Ofri Neve, 10 points, but 6 rebounds. That's what I love to see from him, hitting the glass the way that he did there now as the West Virginia starter in this game. And then Seth Wilson providing some bench scoring, couldn't hit his outside shot, which is something that we've known him to do throughout his career. Couldn't get that going in this game. As I said, no one from beyond the arc really could for the Mountaineers, but 6 points off the bench. That's the type of scoring West Virginia needs from him, is at least a handful of points coming off the bench there as what could potentially be their spark offensively when they need some scoring from that bench. So that's a little bit of the look back at Bellarmine. Now let's jump ahead, take a look at the upcoming game. West Virginia welcomes St. John's into Morgantown for a Gold Rush game Friday night that should be a fun one here in the seventh game of the 2024 West Virginia men's basketball season. All right, so let's dive in here on our main topic, our game preview for this game against the St. John's Red Storm, which will take place, obviously, Friday night, December 1st, and West Virginia's on ESPN2. Finally, a game not on ESPN+, right? I believe it's only, what, the second or third time it's happened this season. Going to be a 7 o'clock tip there in Morgantown, 3-3 West Virginia versus 4-2 St. John's. But the Mountaineers, as I stated earlier, getting all three of their wins at home, with this being a home game. Got to be good news for West Virginia. But before we dive in too much further on this preview, I want to say I appreciate you guys tuning into this episode that have chosen to do so, whether you're watching the video version or tuned into the audio side there. You can find the video version, of course, on the CRW YouTube channel here or on the web there at WVSportsNow.com, where we're happy to be a part of the SportsNow family of networks. But if you're watching that video version, be sure to do us a favor. Hit that thumbs up button. Really helps us out with the YouTube algorithm. And if you're a Mountaineer fan, be sure to subscribe if you haven't already. Helps us and you, as it helps get more of this Mountaineer sports content out to Mountaineer Nation. If you're tuned into the audio version there, which you can find on any podcast platform you like, Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, you name it, just search Country Roads Webcast. Be sure to leave us a rating review there and just share us around with other West Virginia fans you may know as we continue to try and grow the Country Roads Webcast community throughout Mountaineer Nation. Having said that, ESPN's matchup predictor actually favors the Mountaineers slightly, 53% to 47% in favor. They are looking for West Virginia to potentially score this win over St. John's at home there. That's nice to see. Let's take a look at the most recent contest these teams have played. St. John's last five contests, they have won three out of those five. The loss is coming to Michigan and Dayton, but they are currently on a two-game win streak with wins over Utah and Holy Cross coming into this one. And of course, the Mountaineers, as we discussed, have lost three out of their last five, losses to Monmouth, SMU, and Virginia, but are most recently coming off a win that we just covered there over Bellarmine. Some of the team stats, obviously, points per game, St. John's with a big advantage. West Virginia kind of contrasting style. St. John's is going to want to be up-tempo. They're going to press West Virginia, try and force them to turn the basketball over, and then they're going to get out and run on offense. They have good depth, a lot of players, a lot more than West Virginia. They probably feel like they can tire the Mountaineers out and win this basketball game late. They're averaging nearly 80 points per game compared to the Mountaineers' 63, as West Virginia has to utilize more of a slow tempo due to the lack of depth they have right now. That's their best plan of attack to try and win these games. Giving up 71 points per game is St. John's compared to 62 for the Mountaineers. St. John's shoots 46% from the field, 38% for the Mountaineers. The Red Storm are pulling down 42 rebounds a game compared to 40 for West Virginia. Assists 16 per game for St. John's versus 12 for our Mountaineers. 5 blocks a game for St. John's, 4 for West Virginia, and 7.5 steals per game for St. John's versus 4 for West Virginia. So that goes right back to what I said about St. John's and their pressing style. They're going to try and create some turnovers, so West Virginia is going to have to do a great job taking care of the basketball in this contest. But let's look at some of the individual standouts for each of these clubs. Obviously, let's start with the Red Storm and see who West Virginia should be worried about in this contest. And obviously, one of the main ones to worry about is the Red Storm big man here. You'll see Joel Soriano leads the team in both points and rebounds. Senior, 7-footer, 250-plus pounds, 16 points, 10 rebounds on the season. It's going to be a great matchup to watch between him and Jesse Edwards in this game, and it's something that I'm really looking forward to in this contest as he leads the Red Storm in both points and rebounds currently on the season. But they also have a very good point guard in Dennis Jenkins, who is also a senior for the Red Storm, 6 foot, 480 pounder, over 12 points per game, nearly at 13 on the season, 4 rebounds per game and 6 assists, and he's shooting over 40% from the field. So West Virginia will certainly need to keep an eye on him as well throughout this contest. And as I mentioned earlier, Soriano and Edwards going to be a great matchup. Soriano leads the Red Storm in block shots as well. And you look and you see here, RJ Louise is a 6'7 sophomore guard for the Red Storm that could be a good scorer for them on the season. He's averaging 14 points, but he's only played in one game, as you see there. I believe he's dealing with a broken hand, but I as far as I know, he's expected to play in this game against West Virginia, so they will certainly have to watch out for him, as well as the other guard there, Jordan Dingle, the senior for the Red Storm. He's averaging double figures on the season as well and can really shoot the basketball, over 47% from the field on the season, and he can shoot from the three-point mark as well. So those are some of the names to watch for the Red Storm. Let's take a look at some of the leaders for West Virginia's individual stats thus far this season, heading into this game with St. John's. Then I will provide my prediction for this game, and we'll get ready to wrap up Episode 3 of the 2023-2024 edition of the CRW Hoops Podcast. All right, taking a look at the Mountaineers leaders thus far this season, Quinn Slezinski continues to lead this team in points, 16.3 per game. And I mentioned he had this game circled on his calendar, and that is because of his connection with St. John's head coach Rick Pitino. He played for Coach Pitino last year at Iona. He was slated to transfer to St. John's, was going to follow Rick Pitino there, like a lot of Iona players did, multiple Iona transfers on this St. John's roster. So Quinn Slezinski obviously has a history not only with Coach Pitino, but with a lot of the players that he's going to be facing in this game. So he's going to want to put on a good performance. I think that that can be, you know, it can work one of two ways, right? It could be something where he presses too much and then he has a bad game, or he could come out and really put on a show. Obviously, fingers crossed that it's the latter, and I think that Quinn Slezinski is the type that really is going to be mentally prepared for this game, and I'm expecting us to see one of those special Quinn Slezinski performances that we've seen a couple of times yet since he's been a West Virginia Mountaineer, and I think he's going to have a really good game in this one as he continues to be the Mountaineers' leading scorer on the season. And Jesse Edwards also continues to lead the team in rebounds and block shots, 11 rebounds per game and 2 block shots per game to go along with his 16 points per game he's adding as well. Slezinski and Edwards obviously pacing the Mountaineers' scoring, whereas Kobe Johnson leads the team in assists, just over 3 per game. And sixth man Seth Wilson doing a good job off the bench, stealing the basketball, averaging over 1 steal per game to lead the Mountaineers. Other scorers in double figures besides Quinn Slezinski and Jesse Edwards, where there's only one name to name there, and that's Kobe Johnson, averaging 11 points per game, doing a good job attacking the basketball. I like his game when he gets inside. He can really score over other guards. He has a height advantage on a lot of them, a size advantage, and he's a good job as a guard scoring in the post, and we've seen West Virginia design some things for him to be able to get ISO situations where he can do that. I'm going to need some scoring from him in this game, as we will off the bench from Seth Wilson, who's averaging 7.5 points per game. Going to need him to hit some shots for West Virginia in this matchup against St. John's. But speaking of that matchup, let's talk a little bit about it now. I guess it's that time now. We've talked about this matchup enough. Let me provide you guys my prediction for this seventh game of the 2023-2024 WVU men's basketball season. And this one's not an easy one to pick. I think St. John's obviously is going to have an advantage numbers-wise. I'm a little bit worried about their pressing style with how West Virginia struggled to handle the basketball at times this season, their lack of ball handlers, our lack of depth if we get into foul trouble as well. But the one advantage West Virginia has is obviously playing in the Coliseum, one of the tougher places to play in college basketball. This game is a part of the Big East, Big 12 battle. West Virginia obviously wants to represent their conference well. I mentioned the Quinn Slezinski connection. I think he's going to have a good game. Jesse Edwards and Soriano matched up against each other is going to be a fun one to watch as well. So a lot of interesting aspects when it comes to predicting this game. And because of that, I think it's going to be a close one that ultimately probably comes down to the wire. But unfortunately, at the end of the day, I think St. John's is just going to have a little bit too much. They're going to have a little bit too much depth. Their style, I think, is going to be a bad matchup for West Virginia at times, if West Virginia doesn't surprise me and really take care of the basketball better than they have at times throughout this season. But all in all, let's hope that I'm wrong, but I think St. John's finds a way to win this one late in the game. I've got St. John's coming out on top, 79-71 over West Virginia right now. But like I said, fingers crossed that I'm wrong and we're talking about a fourth West Virginia win when we come back here on the next episode of the CRW Hoops Podcast. And I'd love to see it. Love to see the Mountaineers get over 500 on the season, get another win at home at a time when they're really starting to crank up the competition level as some more Power 5 teams come onto the schedule. And of course, conference play begins before too much longer. But the good news is, is. 3 games left on the Kirk Creasa countdown. After this game, of course, that'll be down to 2, and we'll get our point guard back, and it'll make a big difference on this team, a big difference on our offense, and a big difference on our ability to handle the basketball. But without him, I think St. John's will take advantage of that and force some turnovers. And unfortunately, I've got them winning this one. But how are you guys feeling? Be sure to let me know your thoughts down there in the comments. Always appreciate those interactions here on the Country Roads webcast channel. Having said that, looking forward to continue to cover this men's basketball season as it progresses. Now with the football season winding down, I'll be able to cover basketball more frequently. So hopefully the CRW Hoops podcast episodes will start coming out more frequently now in the near future. But I enjoy putting them out when I can and getting to cover this West Virginia men's basketball season as it progresses. Hopefully we've got something positive to talk about after this game against St. John's. I'm looking forward to it. Know you all are also. Be on the lookout for more episodes from us here as we cover this basketball season, and you can find out when those will be releasing by following us on social media. We're on X at WVU Country Roads, Facebook and Instagram, just Country Roads Webcast. Appreciate you guys tuning into this one. Looking forward to the next one. As always, I'm Jordan Cruz, and until next time, let's go Mountaineer.
If you really want to know, then come on, let's go. Take a stroll down those...